Welcome to Ever Beyond. Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. You're listening to Ever Beyond. Let me get my levels right. This is JP here. And it's Sunday, the 24th of September, 2300 UK time. And what else can I tell you? 3 o'clock Pacific. My guest today is somebody who I walked into a typical me. I just kind of said, "Oh, it's you, blah, 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 blah." And then she said, "I don't think I'm the person you thought I was." So being another person who, well, I mean, obviously there was some sort of recognition. So let's start afresh and let's start our conversation. I know who you are now. At least I know what you're called, and today we're going to find out who you are. Today, my guest is Star the Oracle. Just my mic decided to cut out at that moment. Why? That's really weird. Expensive mic. random cutouts. Why is it cutting out just now? It's been working all week, so it's one of those moments. Let's take a breath in.
Inhale
in through the nose and out through the mouth. So, good evening. Your name is Sharon. How would you like to be known or addressed?
Call me Star. Star for short. I can tell you how I came up with the name Star. To me, calling me Star the Oracle almost seems too weird, I guess. It sounds bigger than what I think I am, or what I feel I am.
It's more than a person, isn't it?
It is. It's a descriptor to describe my gifts and abilities, but it's not to make me anything great. And so just calling me Star for a short helps.
Okay.
I guess it works.
We'll call you Star, you call me JP, and we'll get along fine.
Sounds good.
So yeah. So you called in last week, and I was calling in with, it was a random reading show. I like to do this. I like to kind of throw myself into a bit of a challenge occasionally. Ah, there's the thought. Yes. So, you know, I allow curveballs to come towards me so that I can deal with them, learn how to deal with them. And that's one of the reasons that I do completely open mic ray readings. Like, I don't know who's going to come along. And sometimes people's rays are very unusual. You know, because how can I put this? And I suppose if you're a reader, people who are readers, they have a barometer on people, and you also have a kind of statistical selection. If you like, you get a bell curve. We all get a bell curve of clients.
Yes.
And you know, you've got some at one end who like are just so unawoken and so, unaware that you wonder how they actually got in touch with you. And, then there's, people who are just kind of in the waking up zone and learning about chemtrails and vaccinations and then right on the other end, there's the ones who can tell you the first names of the Council of 13, you know. So there's...
Exactly.
So we mix with people, presumably. I'm presuming that you've been doing this for a while. So look, tell us about your awakening life, your awakened life, and maybe even your pre-awakened life, because everybody's got a story, and it usually involves some horrific car accident or something like that, or they break their back or something awful. What happened to you, Star? Let's go, what happened to you, Star?
You know, I don't have like a near-death experience story. My fiance's got at least one, if not two, death stories to tell you and what they told him afterwards. But for me, I've always, I was relating in the chat room earlier where I was outside as a kid, probably 7, 8 years old, and I walked outside and I'm in my backyard and I'm standing there and I'm asking, where is everything else? I didn't even know what everything else was that I was missing, but I stood there going, where is everything else? I mean, the trees were there, the grass was the backyard, it was a field, same thing it is every day, but what was I missing? You know, what had occurred within, what had happened that made me wonder where everything else was. I have seen ghosts all my life. I have, there was always this little imp looking thing that was behind my bedroom door at night. And I've heard Simon Parks talk of Jin, and thinking back now, wow, was that a little Jin that was always with me? Why? Where did it come from? What have I done since then to detach from this? I've seen ghosts all my life since I was a kid. I was raised by a Southern Baptist piano playing mother and a science fiction master's degree in chemical engineering father. So I had a juxtaposition of both worlds, the spiritual and the science. My mother, like I said, was a church pianist, so she had the key to the church. So I was there every time the doors were open, and if they weren't, she had the key. So it was every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, cantata practice, revival, you know, plays, whatever. If there was something going on, I was always at church, and I went to youth camp for 9 years straight. I grew up with all of that. I was saved at 7, and so I grew up knowing the spiritual battle, but at the same time, I grew up with Dad, who, while going to classes at Ohio State, I would go with him to college, and he'd take these TM classes, transcendental meditation classes, on the way back home. He's like, hey, you want to learn how to put a hole in a cloud? So I learned both sides very early and how to come to that balance within, whereas, you know, I grew up seeing ghosts, and my mom says it's demonic, and my dad says, hey, don't go there. Your mom won't be able to handle it. So I get all these things suppressed. Every night, who remembers watching Scooby-Doo? Do you remember the electric monster?
The electric monster?
Do you remember what it looked like? It was just like this big Sasquatch-shaped thing of electricity. The reason why I bring that up is because the shape of it. You could see the head and the shoulders and the arms and the torso. And that would be standing in my bedroom door. It would never come in my bedroom, but every night it would be standing in my bedroom door.
My mind instantly goes to Monsters, Inc.
I know, we've been so reprogrammed to now, but I don't know. I grew up on Scooby-Doo. I was born in 68, so.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes. I've seen the movie, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a real thing. Cause, you know, the realer it is, the more funny they make it, the more comedy they put in. So, cause, you know, it's a cartoon. It's a kid's cartoon. It's like,
benefit.
Yeah, just so we don't get freaked out too much, I think. And, you know, slowly the dawning comes, you know, you go next day, you think, oh, hang on a second. Actually, that's how things work, isn't it? They have, you know, they scare the crap out of kids and the loosh that they generate, runs their fourth dimensional world. That's,
yes.
You know, that's the purport, you know, that's the basic plot of Monsters, Inc. And, you know, it's got this big blue monster who just needs to stand by the doorway to freak the child out. So tell me your experience. When you saw this being, what was your emotion? Did you have a freak out, or was it like, oh, there you are again? Or did you get used to it? Or was it, you know, what was your relationship with
it? I got used to it. Because like I said, the monster, the outline of whatever it was always in my doorway, but never would come in that I know of, at least not while I was awake and laying there in my bed, you know, watching it to see what's going to happen, you know. The little thing that was behind my doorway, I kind of forgot about it till I got later in life, and I got taught how to try to get into this meditation place. You know, you have a blank white room and you go in there and I would see this big screen on the room and I'm like trying to meditate and you know, that's, you know, what am I looking at? But outside my meditation room, outside that door was that little being again. Why was it not allowed in? That's cool with me. What was it doing outside? Maybe that's something someone else can help me with. I don't know. I still see things. I see I see ghosts, shadows. I see things moving around, but I've learned now how to protect in what they are and how to deal with them. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things you said right at the beginning, you said, where is everything else? Now, you can take that multiple ways, but one of the things you could say is that if you had a vision that exceeded this third dimension, like, you know, we're talking about people who are going to become eventually in the next, you know, God knows how many years, but we're going to become more perceptive. We're going to have greater perception of the electromagnetic spectrum, I believe. You know, that's because this is all the same. That light is light, and light, at the moment, we see light that runs from 660 to 400 nanometers. It's a very small slit of frequency. And beyond that, there is still stuff. You know, there is still an entire spectrum, an entire red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, in the ultraviolet spectrum, and then in the next spectrum, and then in the next spectrum, because they're simply octaves. They're just like octaves on the piano. So, what I'm getting to is that we could only hear, our brains have filtered out those other octaves. Now, notice what I say, our brains. I believe that our eyes can see this stuff, our bodies can see out this stuff, but our brains have been fixed. And, or that our brains are physically affected by frequencies that are being broadcast all the time. And this is why, you know, coming back to your early perception of where is everything else, is that I was in a room where there were things that I could see, and suddenly I can't see them anymore. Is that more, I know, it's taking me about 10 minutes to wind round this question, but would that be an accurate reflection of what you were saying?
I believe so, yes. I agree with what you said. There are different ranges, different light frequencies, different sound frequencies we can pick up or that we can see and we can't. And dimensionally, you know, we can see through it every now and then. And yeah, during this time now, the veil is getting thin. And, so more of us are seeing and feeling more. I can get into more of what I've learned about myself since then. It's kind of been like a paranormal journey to my spiritual awakening.
Yes.
Which may be the title of a book one.
Well, that will be, you know, now, if I remember correctly, you had 1, 2, 4, didn't you? Let me just say,
Soul,
personality, mental body. It was like you had unusual mental body. Ready, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Did I say you had a 7th-ray mental body? Something like that.
I thought Jeff had the 7. I thought I was 1, 2, 4.
There's other rays, all right? But, okay, so the 1, 2, 4, is essentially, you know, I can see here that, people with the 4th ray are generally attractive. If they're not beautiful, they're interesting. And always have very expressive eyebrows. This is...
My eyes tell everything.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. And that, you know, you're carrying the mother energy. It's like, there's like Mary's rays, you know, Mother Mary ray. And so, you'll be in tune with all of that stuff. of being able to feel the energy of the planet. You'd be very directly tuned into the planet. Now, there's the planet. Okay, so here's the thing, right? Yes, the upside is you are stunning, right? But the downside is you feel everything and you feel conflict everywhere. And it's
correct.
Your mission, if you so accept it, when you step up, to the moment, and it can be in any moment, you don't have to, you know, doesn't have to be every moment, but in any moment when you're facing, conflict, or when you're, you know, you see two people and you know that they're just going to end up in a fight. And,
It occurs to me how to be the mediator and how to smooth things over.
Yes, you know exactly what to say and what to do.
How to step in and say, hey, let's look at it from this point of view. Yeah. I think he meant that instead. Yeah.
Yeah. And even to the point of even before they get into any kind of conflict, you can see that that character, these guys need a drop of oil between them. You know, so they can't really communicate so easily. So I'll get them, you kind of get them, it's like metal gears. You can either, you know, put them on the ends or they can mesh together. You know, if you put them end to end, they'll clash and burn your gearbox. But if you get them to merge, then everything will be fine. So, you can supply that lubricant, that social lubricant that allows people to, become more harmonious. And thus you feel happier in a weird way. It's like, this is all for your benefit, but because
it is,
it's like the downside of it is that you become a doormat. The downside of this is you just, you know, you see everything around you and just, you know, wallflower and, don't participate and the world goes to crap around you. And that's why find a lot of people with 4-3 are either one or the other. They are either stepping up and making their world harmonious, or they're like, oh my God, what a terrible world I live in. And they can't see that.
Combine that with getting, as the church would put it, words of wisdom, or as we put it, that knowing, that word you have to say to somebody. So combine that with getting things that you know you have to say to somebody, but not wanting to get into it and not wanting to upset the apple cart. But I'd rather usually stay back and just watch, but then step in when I need to step in.
When the temperature rises too much, yes.
Yes.
So there is a balance there, you know, even in your own, perception to action process, you know, you see something happening and you can, I'll let that bubble up for a bit. You know, let's see how that goes. That it might gloss over. Everything might work. But then on the other hand, you know, it's like there's a sense of anything for an easy life, but there's also, a knowledge that if you do something that is not so easy, you have an easier life. You know, there's a sacrifice that you make if you have anything for an easy life is usually a piece of your own self. Because that's, you know, this is the lesson. It's like there is the anything for an easy life energy is, it's not healthy. We know that. We all know that, you know.
Correct.
And, it's the word, what's the word? It, compromises your soul path. Cause really, if you've got a 1-2-4, it's actually a warrior, you know?
Yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily mean like you have to be angry and fight all the time, but your warrior is against the darkness of ignorance and, using, you know, using words, actions, or even just presence. Just presence. Say you walked in, all right, and full furry people love color, so you could wear a huge kind of, let's say, a lavender color. Lavender is very hot, a very healing color, right? You look at it. And
yes. Like, ah.
You could have somebody, two guys who had a really bad day, and they would, you know, again, you come to this imaginary party that they're all at, and there you are, and you're just sitting there, you know, having a drink, picking mm-hmm. up a few peanuts here and there. But, the color that you're emanating, you're vibrating with that color. And that is enough to like disarm those guys who would have had a fight. That's what I'm saying about beingness. You know, sometimes just the beingness is enough.
The aura, the field.
Yeah.
You know, I had an interesting experience one time. I had gone with the family, my husband at the time and our girls, and we went to, it was one of like the fall festival or, something at a Unitarian church at the time. And I walked in and they had these displays, you know, there's people there selling crystals and necklaces and all sorts of stuff. It's kind of like a little new age festival thingy there.
I love that stuff. I have to say.
Me too. And run fairs and all that fun stuff. But I walked in and this girl sitting at a table just kind of stared at me for a minute. And then I did my thing. We walked around and then I came down. And I sat very close to her and she said, I have to tell you, when you walked in, your aura was just huge. I couldn't ignore it. It was just big. And I'd kind of heard about auras at the time and I'm like, oh, cool. Is that good or bad? You know, what does that mean? At the same time, my ex-husband had always told me that whatever energy I was in, whatever mood I was in would affect everything around me. It affected everyone else.
Yes. Yeah. And there's multiple, layers there. Go ahead.
I was about to say, go talk for a second. I think I have to get my dog. He's barking.
Okay. Well, do you want to, hang on. Where is it? That's a whole house. All right. Go and deal with the canine. Yeah, go on.
I'll be back in just a minute.
And I'll do a bit of my family pets. my chickens. For anybody who's interested, Biddy is back in the coop. She had been attacked by the young boys. And was rather bloodied, and she had to sit in a box for a few days in the shed, away from all the rest of them. But now she's back in the coop. She got out of the box and went back. But she was in a really sorry state the other day, you know, really, really bad state. And so I had to line a little cardboard box with straw and put her in it and cover it over so the other guys didn't see her, so she could heal. Bless her little heart. She's not, you know, this is one of those things, you know, they say, you know, it shows what you are when you deal with somebody who's not going to be a benefit to you anymore. She's old and she's not laid the eggs. She doesn't lay eggs anymore. Bless her heart. So she's, you know, aww, she's a sort of pet.
And I miss my chickens.
They're great, aren't they? They're really great things to have around. So there you go. A bit of chicken news. Maybe I should have a little chicken news slot, jingle, you know. Anyway, meanwhile, back in the actual interview. So, so where were we? So you're looking at, you know, how, there's perception and then, there's, the balance. So fourth ray, that's right. I was talking about carrying the fourth ray and having this ripple. That no matter how you're feeling, everyone else is going to feel it.
Yeah, so that had helped me learn how to be aware of what I am feeling, especially when I started a business. I've been a hairdresser for 25 plus years now, and I had my own salon, and I had to become aware of that because I made sure when I built the space that I wanted people to feel like when they walked in to the salon, the area, that whatever was going on in their life stays outside the door. They come in, they walk through, they feel the peace and the energy. And I had people tell me that that is what they felt there. So that was good. So I, knowing how my mood can change things around me a lot, I've learned to work with that and to be more aware of it and to work with staying centered more because I can affect things around me.
Well, you know, it's a two-way street, you see, in the same way that you can be affected by those vibrations around you. You too can affect them. That's your
curse gift.
Yeah, curse gift. Thank you. I was going to say punishment and power or something like that. But it's really the more you become sensitive to it, you get to the point where you can, before it gets too intense and painful, you can do the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, see, so there's that's your, you know, your kind of life balance for yourself is knowing when this thing is coming up. And it does feel like something, like, it always feels like something rising. It's like, oh God, here we go again.
I feel it and I see the signs and even, you know, for whatever it is in general, and I see things coming up. It's like, with that job, I kept feeling like this isn't where I need to be, but I don't want to quit yet because I had worked for the company before. I started in May last year and then I ended up quitting, leaving in August and had to move. And then I got the job again at the same place in a different town in May, and it came towards the end of August and I had this new job coming and I was like, well, I don't want to just quit. I don't want to repeat the cycle from last year. And then I ended up getting fired. So I'm like, okay, God, what's up with this? But I felt it though. I felt it coming and I felt like I was supposed to tell them, don't put me on the schedule for next week, and I didn't do it. It's like when I was a kid, I felt the need to go up to the assistant pastor and say, there's something going on that you're not telling that you need to come true with. Me, 17-year-old female in a church, going up to the associate pastor, you know, saying there's something you need to say, and I don't know what it is, but you need to say something. Come to find out the next week, the pastor of five sons of this church got found out that he was gay at the YMCA. And so that sent a big ripple through the church. So if I had followed that leading to say, hey, something needs to be done, would that have changed anything? Was it me seeing what was coming? You know, was I supposed to say that and didn't? There's been a few times in my life. So now I speak and it's still with trepidation because people don't always take it the way you're trying to bring it.
Yeah, because it's powerful. It's powerful and it changes people's lives. I mean, you certainly changed that pastor's life.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. I didn't say anything. I told my mom about it. I said, Mom, I felt like I was supposed to say something and now all this happens. And, you know, but then again, I told
her. Oh, I see. You didn't say it. But it happened anyway.
Yes.
Right.
So if I had, would that have changed things any better? I don't know.
Well, you never know. He may have suddenly gone into a confessional with you and thus saved himself from all, you know, from great embarrassments and, you know, managed to kind of back out gracefully rather than being, found out like that. You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
What kind of influence even a little 17-year-old, a 17-year-old young woman.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like the, you know, she can still be empowered. It's never too late to have a happy childhood.
Yeah. So I am, so seeing ghosts, being empathic, getting premonitions. And here's one that I am still looking for answers for. I speak in another language and it doesn't always come out the same. And it has come with premonitions. It has come with feelings. I don't know what I'm saying. I can sense the emotion of what I'm saying. Sometimes it's a prayer. Sometimes it's a chant. Sometimes it's like cussing somebody out. I mean, sometimes it sounds Chinese, sometimes French, sometimes Native American, sometimes I don't know where it's from. I still have no idea what it is I'm saying, but I can rattle it off when it wants to come through. What's that?
That's interesting. Now, okay, so I've been doing this for a few years, and I've met a few people who do this.
Right.
Now, if I was in the Christian thing, I'd say, ah, la, 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 you are speaking in tongues. On the other hand, since I'm, you know, kind of grounded in some ways about these things, we all have star heritage. None of us come from Earth. Nobody evolved from an amoeba on Earth. That's just a complete illusion. So our souls come from elsewhere. And if you have a very strong... when you've been... like, it's obvious from the rays that you carry that mm-hmm. you are a dedicated student.
Yes.
All right. That's the thing, you know, and you realize that you're a student and there's teachers and there's more students, you know, and we're all one, sister brotherhood that is learning to evolve and we come in greater and greater soul groups. Like a kefir or something like that, that, you know, every time we soak in humanity and then a few more join the cause. And these people are called, acolytes and novitiates and, initiates and, masters and along this whole progression. Now, where did I go to? Where was I leading into that? Okay. So.
I don't know. A student I am, a teacher I know I am to be.
Yes, well, and this is it. And every cycle of some kind, I don't know exactly the nature of the cycle itself, but there's an initiatory response. And for instance, in my world, you know, I get new guests. And I get listeners who come for a Ray reading one time, and then they come back a year or so later, and their, you know, their rays are different. Like I say, they change. Mm-hmm. I was talking to the lady earlier on. We were talking about how rays change, and she came along first of all as 274, and now she comes in as 127. So that's how it works. You go up the. So from 274 to 127. Okay. So now, so there's a progression, and this is what we're all doing. And so there's a kefir. it's like a culture. It's like, one of these cultures that grows in milk. If nobody knows what kefir is. But you leave it in the milk and it grows bigger and bigger and bigger as it's absorbing the milk molecules and converting them in something. And that's how we all evolve together as a group. Life is more fungus-like than we'd like to imagine. Anyway.
Fungus.
Yeah, it's fungus month. It's September here and now coming into the autumn, and that's when all the mushrooms start growing here, and we see these beautiful fly agarics and all that stuff, you know, the classic. Ah. And they puff balls, they're delicious. About the size of a golf ball.
You know, one of the books I have acquired, I have a library of books to learn from, you know, pretty much everything that would probably put under the New Age title, in addition to natural medicines, natural ways of doing things, you know, how to survive when the technology fails, you know, reading auras, reading your hand lines, how to grow vegetables, where's your medicine herbs. You know, I've got this whole, I don't even know how to describe it. My witch library.
Our witch library.
For how to deal with energies and people and things and the medicines to use to, you know, fix them. So, I have long been wanting to live off the grid, you know, to be out and be self-sustaining, but still have Wi-Fi. So how do you balance that out? But Steph is wanting to
live off the grid and have Wi-Fi. You know, nothing wrong with that. Well, you see, it's the control grid is the problem. There's also the power grid, right? Yeah, and living off the power grid is such an empowering thing. If you excuse the. Obviously well-crafted pun. We enjoy the best of both worlds by, not taking, not drawing so much and putting out. So for instance, you know, you use the internet, but instead of just watching movies on it, you put out your shows. That's another way of using it so that you're not disempowered by it.
Right. So it's not just taking from you, but you're, I don't want to say you're giving back to it, but
you're pushing
it's
into.
Not just it's not just using you, you get to use it.
Yes, yes. And you get to use it to nourish and help others. And that's another, that's double plus, you know, that we have, the ability to not only, not just consume, but we can produce that is like a, what's that? Well, again, like a kefir, it grows more. It thrives and it grows in the atmosphere that you give it. So, you know, for instance, on a personal level, you may, okay, so let's do a radio show. Let's do a radio show that's slightly different now. Let's do a radio show that, that pushes my limits a little bit further. That, you know, you might be able to very, easily create a safe zone in your home and everything like that. But we do need a little bit of risk in our lives. And I find this is an acceptable amount of risk is to open my phone lines up to talk to people and see what happens, see what grows out of that space. You know, if you haven't,
leave room for miracles. That's one of my sayings I've had for a while. Always leave room for miracles.
Yeah. All right. Hang on. Oh, right. Yes. so Ray Rowe from the chat room. He's lovely. He's from London. He says, Star, I do the same. He doesn't understand it. He says words that he doesn't understand. Can you talk more about it? Yeah. So for instance, when you speak these words, are you in front of people or are you on your own? Are you ever, does it ever happen when you're on your own?
It usually happens when I'm on my own.
Right.
It's not something that's really out there to be heard by other people. That's my feeling.
All right.
Well, although I want it to be sometimes. Anyway.
So, have you ever recorded it?
Yes.
And they come out different? You say that sometimes it sounds Chinese, sometimes it sounds French?
Yeah, it's weird how... Like sometimes I can, there's even times where I'll go into like a Native American chant. Like there's times I'm outside and I just I kind of feel like singing and dancing and I'm just, it's some Native American sounding song that's happy.
Right.
I don't know where it comes from. I have my inklings now. I do have a specific past life memory. I do believe that's interesting. So I feel that may be where that particular language comes from, but as far as I don't know, and I'm always asking, I'm like, God, I want this to be from you. I, you know, I'm a shield and protect, you know, having accepted Christ as a child, I hold on to that and I believe that. And so the protection and the angels around me and my guides, I know of at least three guides that I have. They've introduced themselves to me in my life and whether they're actual other beings or I'm just seeing projections of various parts of myself or if they're relatives on the other side or part of my soul, I don't know, but they're funny.
How about this? That they are your other incarnations in other lives.
I believe that. I can believe that.
Cause that, I asked them, I asked my guys, who the hell are you? They said, "Were you?"
Like, "Were you?"
Yeah, I ask them really. You know, I don't have any kind of what's that word? Some people might call it respect, reverence. I'm pretty reverent with them, and they welcome it because they can't be hurt. You know, imagine trying to hurt God with words. How, I mean, just think about it. Just think about it. It's not going to work, is it? The great, omnipotent, all-powerful being. Oh, you said my name wrong. Or you said it in jest. Oh, I'm so hurt.
Well, let me tell you, folks, you know? God listens. When I pray, it's just like, yo, dude, how's it today? You're so awesome. Thank you. The day's beautiful. So what's going on? You know, just like I'm talking to my best friend is how I pray to God.
That's a prayer. You know, you just, mm-hmm. That is a, because if you said it from the heart, and that's the prayer.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
From the heart. Oh, you're into Vikings. I gotta tell you this funny story.
Go ahead.
I'm sitting at a table one day outside a cafe. We're having lunch. I'm sitting with a couple of friends. We're chatting. And I don't know where these names come from. Okay. But it's the names that they have. The three guys. One is Yellowleaf. He's a Native American. I've got, Za, who's like a older, wise woman. I see her with long gray hair and just like white tunic. And she's very peaceful and wise. And then I've got Melesh. Melesh is a Viking. He's like your stereotypical Viking, okay, with all the fur and the axe and, you know, just the full Viking regalia, the beard, everything, tall. But he never really talks. But he's my sense of humor, I have to say. So I'm sitting at this table, this cafe, having this conversation with these people, and I get this picture in my head of Melesh, this Viking, and he's holding up a cardboard sign that says, Valhalla or bust. That's what I did. Cause I'm thinking, wait, aren't you there? Like aren't you already there? What's the deal with this? Nobody knows what I'm laughing about. And I just start laughing cause I'm seeing this cause they think it's funny. And my friends are looking over me like, you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Cause for a Viking to believe in Valhalla, Valhalla's the other side, right? And he's holding up a sign like he's hitchhiking to Valhalla.
That's right.
But so not too many people actually get the humor in that. I'm glad you do.
Well, here's the thing. How can I put this? We have a show on Mondays now. They started on Thursdays, but now they're on Mondays. It's called Answers from the Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very talented medium, Jessica. And
she's wonderful.
So you come across her. Have you heard any of the shows?
Yes, I've been following the Adjonicus transmissions from almost the very start. So when I miss one, I have to like catch up. But listening to Jessica Ariel I love her voice. I love her energy. Yes.
So you get the idea, right? So we come to this place and like Rodan and Yggdrasil and Tree of Life and all this stuff, and there's like. There's a big Viking thing about this. And it seems there was a soul group incarnation, of Vikings. There wasn't this kind of raping, pillaging kind of thing. It was a much more spiritual thing, a much more, tribal way of life,
mm-hmm.
that was not, it didn't have the big violent thing. It was the very home thing, you know, the feeling of being at home and being with love and with your people. And so there was this very, this moment when there's like, we're all, oh yes, we're all Vikings once. And there's, you know, there is the fellow Viking who, has his own, he's got his own show now. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment, it was like, oh yeah, we were all there. And then there's this other time, the Staffordshire lifetime as well, where, you know, oh look, there we all are again. And so here we all are now. We're all in different parts of the planet, but because we can all meet in the chat room, we're here.
I know, isn't it amazing? The soul groups come back together across time, across space for now.
Get the old band back. Who's on drums?
It is awesome. I've been writing stuff forever. Like I write poetry. I channel messages, and some of the coolest stuff I've written, I've had to go back and read what it actually was written because I didn't always grasp it as it was coming through. But I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't know I knew that. But that's something I've done for years, and I get different things. I've been getting messages from Adonai. Now, being brought up Christian, I understand Adonai. Listening to you and Jessica on the transmissions, what can you tell me about Adonai?
Well, when I was a kid and I grew up in the synagogue, I didn't grow up in the synagogue, but like, you know, a bit like your mum. My mum used to do the weddings and, you know, used to go to the shul a lot. We call it shul, didn't we? And so, you know, I was there. I was at the youth club and everything. And it was a, you know, it was a very sociable thing for me. But, anyway, back to, this word. All right. Now in the prayer books and in the Bible, we were taught that if you saw the letters Yod He Vav He, you pronounce it Adonai. Right?
Mm.
So we break that down. Adon. Don. Like Don Carleone.
The Adon. Father.
There's all, yeah, our father. The possess, I don't know the parts of speech that I need to describe here, but in Hebrew, all words are based on three letters and then they have suffixes and prefixes to, express, mine, yours, hers, the conjugations. All right.
Right.
So, let me just try, oh God, let's try and remember Hebrew grammatical conjugations of Adonai. So for instance, there's Elohai and Elohim.
The plural.
Yeah, it's a plural. So Adonai is a singular, as in Elohai. But it means my. Alright?
My father.
Yeah. So, that's Adonai. Now, you're pronouncing it slightly different. He's pronouncing it slightly different, if that's what you're hearing.
It's how I've grown up hearing it.
All right. Okay. So I don't know if we're talking about the same being, but that'll be Enlil in the end, won't it? Because there's, you know, in the end, all the gods, they're either Enki or Enlil.
Right.
So that's Jehovah, who's not so, you know, if that, I don't know who could, you know, cause he sounds like you like him. Jehovah doesn't sound like a likable person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, that just kind of confused me because I've been learning things lately that Jehovah may not have been the good guy. You know, Yeshua is the good guy in the New Testament.
Yeah. So
the guy in the Old Testament was like demanding sacrifice.
Oh,
and
yeah. He's a bloodthirsty bugger.
Wow,
yeah.
You sound like a reptilian to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, there's many things I've learned in the last several years that have kind of usurped everything I was taught in my younger formative years.
But that's fine. Everybody's got to relearn. I mean, imagine, yes. Like we're saying, you know, as people go along that bell curve of awakening, how much they have to let go of. And how much foundational belief about the nature of the world that everybody has to let go of in order to grasp the fact that we're all ascending. The fact that, you know, everything that we thought was honorable is completely corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to unlearn all that stuff. So don't worry. Everybody's going to go through the same process.
Okay.
We all have to go through that process. We all have to unlearn what we've been taught. And also unlearn what we taught ourselves.
My muse is playing in my head. I've always got a song playing. I joke that it's my muse, but this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down.
Who's that one by?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
All right. Okay. Is that a theme tune? I'll stick it on. I'll download it.
Oh lordy. You better look into that before you do that.
Oh, has it got MF in it?
No, because it was a theme song to his show. Will Smith did the show Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, so that was a theme song to it. It's just that line, you know, my world got flipped, turned upside down. And, yeah, it's just, let me go back. I need to fill in some gaps here. So I grew up Southern Baptist, you know, with my dad, you know, science fiction. So I grew up on Star Trek and Stargate SG-1. I tried to tell my kids, look, they're telling us what's going on. Watch the show. I'm telling you, we've already got this stuff. So
absolutely.
Crazy.
Documentaries.
Yeah, exactly. Even when they did the show about doing the show, you know, that was funny. That was hilarious. But I stayed up on that, you know, Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis. And I'm like, oh, man, this is so cool. When's it going to happen? So now we have Antarctica melting and blah, blah, blah. And I forgot where I was going with this. Let's see. Premonitions, empathic, speaking language, seeing ghosts. I've got ghost stories that could keep you occupied for a couple hours.
Unlearning.
Unlearning
things. That's what the where we started with this conversation.
Yes. Unlearning things. Unlearning things socially, unlearning things in my family unit. Where am I trying to go with this? Certain morals and values we were taught when we were kids do not always apply when we get back, when we grow up and get out into the real world to a point. You know, obviously your certain morals do need to always apply. I grew up very protected. Very protected. And so when I finally ran into an individual that I dated for years, who truly showed me what a narcissist is, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe people are actually that mean. People are actually that rude, you know? So in one way I did stay very naive, but it wasn't that I didn't know what was going on. It's that I've chosen to believe in the good in people. I know there's good in people. I know that love is the answer. I know we are here for a higher purpose. I know that we're all being deluded, and I know that if I can stay true to my course, I can continue to be a light and not a stumbling block to people. I want people to learn, and I want to be a light for them, not that I can lead them anywhere. That's not the goal. I'm like, hey, I've learned this. Let me share it with you. Maybe it can help you. Maybe it'll apply to you. If it doesn't, leave it. You know, if it does, cool. Take it with you. I don't know where to go from that.
So there's times when your life turns upside down and you have to unlearn. Well, look, this is another thing, you know, there was that experience. You thought he was nice to start with, but you know, you find out. And that's the state of so many people. Imagine, yeah. You know, the whole world thinks that of their doctor, of their bank manager, of the governor, the police chief, that they think these people care about us.
And that we can trust them.
And that we can trust them, and that we can be, vulnerable in front of them. Whereas now.
Only for that trust to be thrown back in your face.
It
hurts as a soul. I've told people for years that it hurts to be on earth. Mm. It hurts to be here because we are separated. The separation from the total love is painful in itself, but to be here and to experience everything that we endure as human beings, be it a love loss, be it a physical loss, be it physical pain, be it a mental pain, you know, emotional pain or abuse or whatever, it hurts to exist on this plane of existence, period.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you're empathic and when you feel everything, I have had those moments, JP, where I've literally felt the weight of the world, and it dropped me to my knees. Like it dropped me to my knees, and I'm just prone, and I'm on my face crying. I'm like, God, you've got to take this. You know, I'm praying for the world. I get it. You know, this is put on my heart to pray. That's all I do. When I get to those points, it makes me pray because that's my only out, you know, but that is the out. You know, when we have our burdens, we are to give them to God. But at the same time, I don't just say, here, God, you know, you handle this. Like, help me figure out what's within me to deal with this. How do I respond, not react, but respond to others? You know, how it's, it's been a lot of learning experiences in my life. I'm trying to stay focused and get through like a certain path of telling you about me and how I've grown, but we keep going on these little tangents and it's cool though.
Yeah. Well, you see, your journey is everybody's journey. It's the world's journey. It's the planet's journey. The planet has to wake up too. the planet has to go through an unlearning process too. The planet has to go through a, my God, I can't believe what these people are doing moment. Because the belief has to be, you know, unlearned as well.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, because it's, you know, people believe in their, they believe and they trust in their parents, and then they get to a certain age and the parents get divorced, and you have to wonder, like, what was all that about? You know, I and I can say that because I've experienced it myself. I was 44 and my parents got, no, I was 40 when my parents got divorced. They were married 44 years and they got divorced. And it threw me for a loop, a huge loop, because the things my dad said made me question my entire childhood. Like, did you mean that? You know, so it's, there's healing. There is healing in everything. When the truth comes out, a little cheesy saying I've had for years, you gotta feel, deal, heal. You've got to face it. You've got to feel it in order to be able to deal with it and to heal from it. And then you can move on. Because if we don't let go of forgiveness, then those are things that keep us chained. If we don't let go of things and forgive, then we keep ourselves chained to the past. We can only move so far forward if we're still fettered to things in the past through unforgiveness, through hurts, through things we haven't forgiven within ourselves, you know, et cetera. So it is coming to a point of unconditional love for yourself and total trust in God and source above, knowing that you are not separate from that, but you are connected to that which created you, just like I am part of my mother and my father that created me. I am part of all source that created me, just as you and everybody else is. There is an eternal soul. You know, I had the weirdest experience. I've had several weird experiences. You're going to find out. One day somebody asked me, how old are you? And without thinking, JP, it came out of my mouth like it was natural. And I stopped and I said, where did that come from? And they said, how old are you? And I said, in Earth years. And I'm like, where did that come from? Why do you answer somebody in Earth years?
In cat years.
In Earth years? Like, was that it? Was there a difference? Yeah, I know that I am an old soul and I'm here to help people get through this time. I've spent my entire life learning about this time that I believe we are in now. This 2012, this transition, this September 23rd, you know, learning about all this. Growing up in church, I had a love for archaeology. I grew up watching In Search Of, you know, and learning about Bigfoots and Sasquatches. And to this day, I would still love to have a sit-down conversation picnic with a Sasquatch. I would just love it. I would. It'd be so cool. It'd be like the best day ever for me if I could do that. Focus, Sharon. Where am I going with this? What was I talking about, JP?
Having dinner with a Sasquatch. Listen, we're at the top of the hour. Maybe it's time to refocus with a nice cup of tea while we listen to the theme tune of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh,
here we go. Oh, yes. The Fresh Prince of, I never saw the show. So the idea is he goes from a poor neighborhood to a rich neighborhood and
starts. Yeah, he's living on the streets and some kids come around and get in trouble and his aunt says, no, go, or his mom says, no, you're not going to get raised here in this mess. Go live somewhere where you're going to have a better life. So yeah, that's just funny. I don't know. It was funny. I kind of watched the show whenever it was on. I think I had kids at that time and, yeah, which is interesting.
As you do. So, there we go. Now, where are we? The fresh princess.
Fresh.
Sounds different, doesn't it? Yeah, no, it's not.
Fresh
so,
now.
Yes.
not fresh. Wow. See,
so,
what else?
Star, here on Ever Beyond Radio, we were looking for new talent, always, and because people come and people go and people leave and people get thrown in jail and things like that. So, you know, last week you came on and said, you do readings and things like that. So What sort of readings do you do? Have you developed your own style? I presume you've developed your own style. Being a 1-2-4, you'll have explored lots of different modalities and lots of different divination methods to see what is the best one that fits you. Is that about right?
That is about right, yes. I have a deck of cards. I'm shuffling now because I realized after listening to this show when from last weekend that when my Skype had dropped, you had asked me if I would read cards for you. And so I told you I'm wanting to do that because you had asked me and I didn't hear you and I apologize. But I looked through, you know, the different books, the different ways to read tarot and the different spreads, and it's only really been in the last year. Like I've had these cards for years and I put them down for almost 2 years, and then I just suddenly got this inkling to like, where's my cards? I want to play with my cards again. And I don't just like cut the deck and take them off the top. As I'm shuffling, they come out on their own. And even then as I'm laying them out, I'm like, all right guys, where does this card go? Where does it need to go? It doesn't just go in a line. And then it can look like a very discombobulated mess. But then when I go to read them, that's like, if I have two cards here and another card is laid on top of it, that one accentuates those two. So it tells the better storyline that way. So yes, I've developed my own way. I've got, dowsing rods that I made myself. I've got a little crystal ball that it looks pretty and collects dust. I don't use it. I don't know how to use a crystal ball. The way I have, as a child, I could never go to sleep with the lights off. Now I cannot go to sleep with the lights on. I have to have it pitch black, and I actually look forward to that because I can lay there at night. And as I'm going to sleep, you know, sometimes your eyes open as you're thinking, sometimes they close. And so if there's no light out there to distract me, my mind can see. And there are times when there are things in my room. There are times when I'm seeing things like I'm going through someone else's house. Like, I don't know if I'm, if I am looking through someone else's house or if I'm seeing scenes from something. There have been times when it's like I'm standing in front of a wall that's a scroll and it's, you know, unwinding on one end and winding on the other. And it would be, how to describe this? If this wall was like 10 feet high by 30 feet long, okay, and this scroll has every sort of writing, hieroglyph, picture, anything on it, and it's just racing by me and I'm standing there in front of it and I'm taking it all in and I'm like, wait, stop. I want to see that again. What was that? You know, and it just keeps going and going. And I know I'm downloading it, if that makes sense. But I just have a lifetime of these weird little things. But you asked me about different ways of scrying. So, yes, scrying or my own divination, the cards and that, and feeling and sensing things and just knowing. And I've seen an angel once. I've seen a really big, it was really cool. It was just a momentary glimpse. I had asked God to post angels around the house for protection, and I'm out on the front porch, and I look, it was like just a glimpse of a moment, you know, at the corner of my eye. There's a 20-foot tall, glowing gold light, gladiator-clad looking being with a huge blue flaming sword. Just eminent peace, love, presence. And, you know, and then I didn't see it anymore, but I saw it, and that picture is burned into my memory because it was just amazing. It was just, wow. The love that just emanated from it was like a wave that hit me. Yeah, ghosts, angels,
divination.
But shadow beings. Divination. Yes.
Wow. Okay. I was just going to, Vanessa, she's very funny. She said, she was talking about your crystal ball. She says, if it's cluttered and dusty, it's because you're seeing her house.
Love Vanessa, man. I think she's a very kindred spirit. Mm-hmm. Things mm-hmm. that she has said, I understand her.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. See, one of the things is, yeah, we've been doing this for a few years now, and a couple of years ago, I noticed that every time I type something, Vanessa would type exactly the same thing. Exactly. At the same time. And I'm like, I don't need to do this anymore. Thank you, Vanessa. You can take over. So that's how we do it. It's unique. It's beautiful.
Yeah, she's an awesome person, an awesome soul to have with you on this ride. That's beautiful.
So, yes. I hear flipping. I hear the flipping of tiny cards.
I'm trying to do it quietly, but I am right under the microphone with them, so yeah, I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. No, no, it's a good background sound to have as a, So yeah, the idea, building your own divination system and the idea that you're, you read, so here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Some people will take their tarot deck and they'll shuffle and shuffle and the card will fall out. They'll pick up the card and put it back in the deck and they keep shuffling.
Right? No, don't do that. The angels gave you that card.
Exactly. And the thing is, whenever I do it, cards are flying everywhere. It's mental.
I argue with them. I'm like, okay, you cannot give me like 20 at a time. I'm putting these back. If you want them in, then you're going to bring them again, but none of this. You
know? Exactly. Exactly. Each card is like a window in a lifetime. And you know, like, oh, there's a lot going on here. So, while we're speaking, has anything like that happened? Have any cards jumped out?
Yeah, there's the Chariot, there's the Nine of Pentacles, the Queen of Wands, and the Sun.
All right, so the Chariot, that's an interesting card. I got that a few weeks ago. The idea of balancing opposing forces. So this is that fourth ray that I was telling you about. You know, you've got two wild horses and you have to tame them or at least relate to them both so that they both move in the same direction.
Well, normally if you're driving a chariot, you're the one controlling the direction that they go.
Yes.
So you're driving the chariot. So yes, and in this picture, there's a black horse and a white horse. So it is the decision on which path to take. You know, you can steer them this way or that way. The other things that come to this is the Chariot card is the number 7. And I write little notes on the cards to help me out. But what's written on this one, it's goals, almost there, travel, and choices. So it's kind of obvious with the Chariot, though. But it is, you know, for going on a new, on the path, on a new path, you know, moving forward, persevering, making the choices. And then the Nine of Pentacles, the development of a venture creates money for you and take care of that it progresses smoothly. It's the start of something new. The Knight, he's not a king, he's not an emperor, but he has the power over what he has. But he's still responsible and still has to answer too, so it's a practical way of being. Then the Queen of Wands is your Leo or your fire sign woman, perhaps. She's going to be good at business. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She can make some sound decisions. She's got a lion at her feet. You know, like I said, it's the fire sign. So you got the earth sign, and the Chariot was the major arcana. And then this one, you've actually, there's two major arcana. So after the Queen of Wands is the Sun. So that's your clarity, seeing things for what they are, you know, that there's brightness after, you know, crappy times. Almost cussed on the air. I'm going to try not to do that. I was in the Marine Corps, so we taught the sailors how to cuss. That's the joke, you know. Anyway, I am a former Marine. I do have two daughters. I was married for 22 years. I have also owned my own business. I'm kind of a tomboy that grew up to be a hairdresser and had daughters. So,
yeah, a bit of a tomboy that grew up to be a princess. So, because it's,
you know, Sharon means princess.
Does it?
How indeed? My mother got me My mother got me a bookmark a long time ago, with my name and what it meant, and it said princess, and I was like, cool. Princess of what? Princess of what?
The fresh princess.
Fresh princess.
So what we got? So we started out with the chariot. And then the Nine of Pentacles.
Knight of Pentacles.
The Knight of Pentacles. So, people cards. All right. Knight of Pentacles, and then the
Queen of Wands.
Queen of Wands. Always like the Queen of Wands. Always a lovely character. Followed by the Sun. So the Sun is like completed projects, isn't it?
It would be. It's the clarity after the storm. You know, after the storm clears, you see things. You can see the things that were hidden. You can see the things that were hidden, the things that weren't there. See the reasons behind things. You can see how things have happened, how they've come to be, and why. No clarity there. On top of the chariot and the Knight of Pentacles is the Page of Swords. So that's messages coming. The sword or air, so that's your thoughts, the messages, the communications. Take care to progress smoothly. It could also be a young chatty person is who the Page of Swords could be. And then over top the Queen of Wands and the Sun. It's like these three were together and then these three were together. The Six of Swords, which is leaving the difficulty behind and moving forward. He's standing on the boat and he's going, he sees where he's going. He's almost there. Again, with the hardships are left behind. Wow. This for you or for me, JP?
I think it's for everybody, you know, because
I think so.
When I say everybody, it's like, if you're on this journey that has taken us through Egypt, through the Vikings, through all of these times, doing the good thing, fighting the good fight, then you're in this, then this is the soul group. And that's us. And so all these things make sense on lots of different scales, on a personal scale and on a group soul scale. So please keep going. That's brilliant.
I had written, I've still got the cards in my hand. I had written, and I think it's in another notebook, a poem, a little something about I'm a spiritual warrior. And I'd have to take a minute to look for that. But it's, I really liked it and it keeps coming to mind right now. There's other things I'd written. I'd actually pulled up one to read if I could. And I'd written this, this one's fairly short. I'd written this in February 1st this year. Dawn is breaking through the night. Demons flee as the souls of light sweep across the land in glorious rays, spreading light into day. The new day dawns on the children of earth. A new world has been birthed. Angels of mercy, grace, and joy start from heaven's, or I can't even read my own writing, from heaven's eternal love employ the tools, the means, the methods, and knowledge to create a new life in mansions or cottage. The abundance given freely to all those who desire to fuel the giving flame of soul fire. Do work in earnest yet today to help all and earth recreate in new ways.
Fabulous.
So there's just a little sample of stuff I write down.
Interesting.
I've got pages and pages.
I have an ongoing communication with my spirit guides, as I often talk about. And it's all dated and I've got it in a database. It wasn't originally, but it started out on bits of paper, but I needed somewhere. And it's fabulous to be able to look back instantly, and even to like dip in just by holding down the back button and going, you know, let it scroll through and just, lifting your finger up at a random point.
It's randomly picking it. Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's, you know, cause it becomes your own holy scripture, you know, it's like your own connection with your divine. Anyway, so when I look at, at February, they said one little thing. They said, here is a sneak preview. You will be connecting sources together in an interweaving operation that is only possible from an Earth 3D standpoint. It will be an interface, a portal, a tunnel through the fifth dimension. to anchor new energy lines onto the planetary grid. You have done much work on your dream travels and helped to clear much of the local area. And there will be rejoicing on many dimensions soon enough. So that's their message. So that's what they were saying to me at that. Yeah, I just thought, I wonder if there was a sort of parallel communication there. So there you go.
Oh, here's something interesting. I had noticed back when I was still going to church that even the message from the pulpit seemed to parallel like the astrological energies for the week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's always a theme. Each week has a theme. And yes, I understand astrology and how that plays into our lives every day. There's always an influence. And so it's like your individual influence or it's the planetary theme for the day or theme for the week. And it's amazing. We're all put through the same lesson in our own individual ways.
Yes.
Yes. Would you like to hear another?
Oh, go ahead.
Another. This will be appropriate since we have Maria coming close to shore this week. My youngest daughter's name is Mariah. Her birthday is the 28th, and she's getting married October 1st. And so my Mariah is having to deal with Maria this week.
Sorry, because Maria isn't, that's the next girlfriend.
Yes.
That's, to me, Maria is the name of an ex-girlfriend. So.
Well, Maria is the name of a hurricane coming
really?
Close to the coast.
She's a hurricane now. She was pretty intense. She was pretty intense when she was a girlfriend. She's a hurricane now. Amazing.
Well, speaking of hurricanes, I wrote this January 18th. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Be still amid the chaos. Be the center of the storm. The calm is in the center. The wind's outside the core. Be quiet when there is lightning and listen within your heart. The calm is in the stillness. The fights don't need your part. Let the storm surround you as the forces do their work. The calm is in the center. The center is your heart. Be still amongst the chaos as the winds of rage blow. When the storm is over, the peace returns, you know. If the chaos is in your heart, the storm never dies. That rage and anger blow away your peace that it denies. Be still amid the chaos in the center of the storm. Watch the winds of change work as a fresh new landscape forms. Remaining centered is the key as the storm moves across the land. The strongest winds of the destruction are the closest to your hands. Be still amid the chaos. All is being made new. Stay centered in your heart with peace and let God's love guide you. The center moves with the storm, so be fluid where it goes. Practice predicting directions is what God knows. Be still amid the chaos. A new and better way will show. When the storm is over and you've avoided the worst, when it comes to rebuilding anew, you can be the first. Be still and know that I am God. I will keep you safe in my arms. Let my love and peace guide you. It didn't rhyme at the end, but it just ended.
Okay. So talking of Eye of the Storm, if yes. I'd have read on one more paragraph, I'll just finish this because then it's like, this is again, we're meshing things together. There are others around the world doing this, and you will be immediately notified of its success. It will make itself very apparent. We cannot say too much to you because the sense of wonder would be diminished if you knew how everything went. So I ask, will it be enjoyable? To those like you who have fully embraced this, and I also add like everybody who's listening to this because we've all embraced this, you will be anchors, the eye of the storm, the center of the vortex. All will rotate around you. Yes, there are other timelines when you didn't quite get to the right vibrations, but they are long gone as models. This is the way as I am the proof. This is my future self, you see. You have since become known. You will return to your place. It will be good and you will feel finally fulfilled. It will be a good place.
Wow.
So there we go. You will hold that in your heart.
Wow. Did you write that on the same day I wrote this one?
This is January the 28th.
This one, January 18th, so
there you go.
Close enough.
So, you know, like we're saying, that if you look at everybody's soul messages, the same feelings, the same qualities of energy are moving through everybody. So, again, of course, if we're a soul group, then yeah, that's of course what's going to happen. We're all going to hear the same news.
Mm-hmm. We're all vibing together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, harmonious, discord or harmony, you know? My mother plays piano and I grew up learning piano. I ended up taking flute in high school or in school so I can read music. I wish I could sing. When I'm all by myself, I can sing very well. When anybody's listening, I can't sing worth a darn. like most people in the shower, yeah. I sound fabulous.
Yeah, I bet. You should get a mic in there. You know, I think it was Tesla or Einstein. I think it was Tesla says, if you understand music, you understand everything.
Yes, I have said for years, music and math make up the universe because it's sound and it's the vibration of it and how it shapes out. JP, maybe you can help me with this. I have had this thought, this vision for years and I cannot, it's an idea that other people are going to have to put together. Other people have the talents, but I will use myself for an example. Okay. So you have my name, so you can do the numerology or however you want to do that to come out with the musical equivalent of what that name would come out to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you can get people who are doing that now.
Okay.
I also found a website that does that. That there's a particular process that takes the letters of a name and then converts that to music. I did it the other day with Wolf Spirit Radio, I think. But anyway, please go ahead.
Right. So if you take the rest of the person, meaning like my birthday, and put that out, you know, put that as another line in the music, another overlay, another instrument or something. Then other aspects, it's like to, I remember, what's that movie? What's the movie? I have it. I love that. Dogma, where Alanis Morissette.
One of my favorites.
Yes, I love that movie. Where Alanis Morissette comes out and, you know, Jay and Silent Bob want to know what her name is. And, no, are they in that movie? They're in that movie, are they? I can't remember. Anyway, so the guy next to her says she can't say her name. It's the sound. You wouldn't understand it. The vibration of it would shatter you. But it's the whole being of the uniqueness of who an individual is in this lifetime. So you've got their name, you've got their birth date, you've got other aspects of them that would go into this harmonic, this tone that would be individually and uniquely each person. And so, and with that idea, would matching that tone to them be a healing tone to them? Is that a certain tone you don't want everybody else to know? Is that, you know, I have this idea and all these thoughts with it and how to create it and how each person would have their, or is their own
okay.
Tone, you know, and that's where we're in harmony or in discord with others, blah, 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 yeah.
Okay, you came to the right place here. So, this is one of the things that I've been studying over the years as well. Mostly sparked by meeting a wonderful lady called Shari Edwards, in 1995 in Glastonbury. And, I've got such a squeaky chair. Sorry about this. Anyway, I try not to.
You really
to,
do.
Yeah, because I bounce around a lot. And what she discovered is that she can reproduce a frequency. And it sounds like something like, and she does that with a voice, right?
I had heard that the other day. When people do that, who was it that said when we kind of go our default,
me.
That tone, I heard that. That made a lot of sense.
Yeah. So anyway, so let's just join your dots here.
Okay.
One of her, co-workers and students was an astrologer. And so she took the data of all the healings that Shari had done so far, with all these different people. And she took their frequency and collated that with their birthday. And blow me if there isn't a correlation that is like 80%. It's either 40% are related to the frequency that is related to the day of their birth. Every day has a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, particular frequency of note. And in 40% of cases, it was the reciprocal, the opposite. So say you were born March 18, you may have a frequency of B. It's just between B and C, right? And but you may have an excess of that, and in order to calm the excess, you you give the opposite reciprocal frequency, which would correspond with September the 18th, which there's a B somewhere between an E and an F, I think. You see? But
okay, so am I thinking too much into this? Okay, so it wouldn't be an octave. Would it be like, never mind, Sharon. Yeah, so I'm seeing a hand on a piano keyboard, like trying to figure this out.
All right, sorry. Tritone. Tritone?
Yes.
Flat and fifth?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The relationship between a tone and the tritone is the reciprocal. It's like if they were colors, they'd be the opposite on a color wheel.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I totally understand the color wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I told it. Yes.
Okay, so you understand the color wheel, then the octave matches the color wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, starting with C, going up through, going up through the colors. And, the primary, secondary, tertiary, relate to also the rays as well. Because you've also got the primary rays, which is like the C, E and A. Is that right? Yeah.
And you get red, yellow, and blue. And yep. Then those are your primary. And then you got your orange, purple, green.
Yeah. So your red will be your C. Your yellow to green will be the E's, and the blues will be the A's.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes, and it is the opposite side of the wheel that always neutralizes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
This is beautiful.
So the rays are a blend of the primary rays and the secondary rays. There's four secondary rays and three primary. In the same way we've got three major colors and four minor colors. And the same way we have three major notes and four minor notes. It's just so beautiful. It's all just the same. It's like, how come nobody has taught us this? We are now uneducating and re-educating ourselves. Reformat your hard drives, people. We got a new understanding of the way things are. It's not really new. It's just the same. It's just less cluttered.
Yes, yes. As a kid, my dad had an oscilloscope on his workbench.
Oh, cool.
And one of my favorite things to do was go up to it. I said, "Dad, turn it on." I'd go, "Wow," like that. And I'd watch it make the different shapes and pictures. Mm-hmm. Well, now we understand how the vibration, like you got sand on the plate and it vibrates and it makes a different shapes. The higher the frequency, the more intricate the design. And so you go back to your platonic solids, and I want to make a quilt with platonic solids. Is that weird? I want to make a quilt with all this stuff in it. But anyway.
You can probably get one.
I've got to make one.
They do really cool stuff.
I buy one when I can make one.
Yeah, true. So your quilt will have, solids, on them.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how I'm going
to
do this.
Quilted octahedron. That'd be quite fun to have a fuzzy, soft octahedron. Or icosahedron.
Icosadodecahedron?
Oh, wow. Like,
yeah.
That's got
it lots. Took me a while to learn how to say that one. It's like, what, a 12-pointed star? Was that three pyramids or four pyramids together? Icosadodeca, is that 12?
Yeah, the icosa is 12. Dodeca. Dodeca is 12. And icosa is 20. So the Earth grid is an icosahedron. That's got 20 points on it. That Becker Hagen's grid. And dodecahedron, is that 12? Is that the same as, no, it's not. I'm looking at the star tetrahedron as a cube, really, isn't it? Yeah. So yes.
Well, when I was learning about that, I was looking at these three, you know, the 3D pictures. Well, it's not 3D, it's a picture, but I was trying to, you know, visualize it. But I was going through the learning phase of the Merkaba and your body being the quantum energy source and the Merkaba and your whole, it was through my William Henry learning curve, and I dived into all things William Henry, you know, and I did that. I'll do that. I'll find a teacher and I'll learn everything that they have, you know, and then I'll go on to the next one. If there is a degree handed out for all things shift, I'd be one of them in line to get the paper, to get the diploma at the end of this, I think.
So you devoured William Henry.
Yes, I've got a few of his books and a few of his DVDs. I have quite a range of topics. I've got Tibet and Hindu and Christian and Egyptian, Book of the Dead, and how to read palms and auras and, you know, pretty much all of it.
So, you got all the books. You got all the books. It's the practice. So.
It is.
Reading people is a great practice, is being able to be open to somebody without overlaying your own, opinions on someone, you know, just being able to allow someone to be.
Yes.
And read what they're reading without sort of telling them what you're thinking. Just overlaying your own, leaving out the overlay.
Without any preconceived ideas, yes. Letting them show them who they are. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't even want to say these words. More about me. I don't want to be about me. Who am I? So yeah, exactly. Who am I?
Where else can you lead us in your garden? Is there a fountain?
There is a fountain, and it was gifted to me, and it is a two-piece fountain that I have moved with me. In the past 5 years, I moved five times, and so this fountain went with me. But it is a lion. It is a lion head on the top part of this fountain, and it has two bowls, and the top bowl goes into them. It's fascinating. Hey, I love my garden. I live outside. And the older I get, the more I just want to go outside and play. So.
That's the way. That's yes. The way. We shouldn't have to do this kind of work thing.
No, I don't like working for the people. I want to be me and be able to give. I don't want to just leave it openly, give people what they want, but there's something that people can come to me for that I can offer them. But in exchange of that, because nothing is free, there is always an exchange of energy, one way or the other. You know, I don't want it to be money, but in some cases it has to be, but I'm not even going to go there. I'm just saying that my goal is that I can use my gifts and abilities and give it in a way that universe is always giving back, because I've learned that you cannot outgive God. It's fun. Try it. I dare you. You cannot outgive God. Ever. So I know that when I can give, then my needs are met. It's.
Yeah, it's a pay it forward kind of thing.
It is.
So.
Interesting. I've got to tell this. There was one day at work that I thought I was scheduled at 12 for lunch. Turns out I was scheduled at 1. I took my lunch at 12. I go to the drive-through, and I get to the drive-through, and the person there hands me my bag, and she says, "The person in front of you paid for your meal." So I pass it on to the person behind me. I said, "Well, here's $4 I have here, you know, give that to the person behind me." But that was just an amazing blessing that I needed that day. But then when I go back to work and I find out I wasn't supposed to take my lunch then, it kind of like burst my bubble. But there's always those little things. You go with the flow. There's little things. There's always leave room for miracles in your life. Everybody. How much time we got? I want people to know that they are special, that they are loved, They have not screwed up too far. There is a purpose for them in this lifetime. There is a group of people that are like you that want to be with you and that want to learn with you like you do. You're not alone. The world is full of delusion. You have to find your peace within your heart, and the peace is there. Sometimes it's covered with a whole lot of crap, a whole lot of propaganda, a whole lot of lies, a whole lot of mistreatment, a whole lot. But you are still connected to the all that is all, the source that created everything. And that source created you from love, and that's who you are. So remember, or reassemble, regather, recombine, remember who you are. And know that you are not nothing, that you are something divine and special. And you have a purpose. And our life's purpose is not always about ourselves, about what we can do for our family, but what we can be, so that we are there just being a light. You know, just be the light. Be the change you wish to see in the world. And you can use that word. You can interchange that. Be the light you wish to see in the world. Be the mercy you wish to see in the world. Be the compassion. Be the giving. Be the help. Be the peace you wish to see in the world. But be it. Practice it. Start where you are, with who is around you, with what you have. Start there. When you take that step forward into something, well, no matter what it is, if you feel that's where God's leading you, or the inner guidance, or that push, or whatever, then take that step, because heaven meets you there. When you take that step, you are showing heaven which direction you are going. When you step out in faith, you are saying, I'm going here. And then heaven says, okay, we'll meet you here. We got you. Now which way are you going here? And you take another step and you move forward. And that's how we progress, step by step. Sometimes we take 5 steps back, or sometimes we roll back down the damn hill and we got to get up and go up again. But we're never alone, ever. And I want the world to know that. I always ended my shows with, I love you, world. And I mean that. I mean that from every bit of my being and my heart. I love you, world. And I know there's better for us here, because I'm here to help bring it. And so are you. So, there's my little rant.
Thank you. I just realized that what I was reading from was not just a regular guides thing, but it's actually directly speaking to my future self, who had contacted Jessica sometime. Did you hear that bit?
Oh, that's awesome.
She suddenly, instead of hearing me over Skype, she heard me in her head. And it was like, it's not me, this guy. It's some future expression of this guy. It's so difficult to talk about.
I understand it.
Yeah, so, you know, she connected with him, and so I thought, oh, I wonder if I can too. So I did, and we had this interesting conversation. So it's like there were things that I was saying, you know, do I need to worry about this? And they, nothing ever happened, you know. So don't worry about things, because they won't ever happen. I think that's a good general general advice anyway.
Well, what we mind matters, you know. If you don't mind it, it won't matter, or it won't materialize. Exactly. So what you give your focus and your intention and your thought to is what you are bringing into manifestation and into materially being in the world. So mind your thoughts.
Yeah.
And your heart, always.
Be very vigilant what you entertain as thoughts. And if you are entertaining thoughts you think are not the best, make sure that you know that you're doing that, so that at least you're not kind of falling for its BS. So, here's the thing. We're about 15 minutes out. Where do you want to go in terms of what your expression is? What was your, you know, you said you used to do radio shows, yeah?
Yes,
did the cat like it?
Oh, Rex. Rex is funny. He's Rex. I call him T-Rex. He's actually, I call him T-Rex because he has 3 legs. The neighbor shot off a leg.
Oh,
but don't be fooled. He's still an avid hunter. He brings me rabbits and lizards and all sorts of things.
Wow, shows you what determination can do.
Yes. Yeah,
and focus.
Where do I want to go with this? I I can read cards for people. I can interpret dreams. I can offer my interpretation. They can, you know, as with anything I say, they can take it or leave it, you know, so I can help people with the dreams and understanding. My love to be self-sustainable and to help people return to better health with better diet and better nutrition. I've always said, if you want to eat right and exercise, grow your own food. Because if you're out there in the garden and you're tending the garden and you're moving the dirt and you're bending over and you're getting your stretching and you're exercising, you're lifting and moving and walking and all that that a garden takes, and you're eating the healthy stuff that you know what's going on it or not going on it, you know, it's better for you. It's fun. I love being in the dirt in my bare feet. I love being outside, and when I have to plant, I love being in that. And it's enriching to the soul to see things that you've started from seed grow and then nourish you and nourish your family. I love being able to, when I needed a salad, to just go outside and pick off my 5 different kinds of lettuces I had growing and go inside and have a salad. People can do that. It doesn't take a lot of space. So I want people to become more aware of what they actually are able to do for themselves. Do not feel helpless and hopeless and left out. I'm living in an apartment and all I have is a balcony. Well, there's ways that you can grow many things that you can save money by not buying at the store, because you're growing it. You're growing it on your windowsill. Some things like celery, onions, potatoes, sweet potatoes, you buy them once, you can stick the parts in water and grow them and have them for the rest of your life. You know, we don't have to be dependent on Big Brother in the supermarkets and the big pharma. You know, I'd rather go to the pharmacy rather than the pharmacy. Mother Earth has answers for everything, and she always has, and that's why I have all these books. I can't put all this knowledge in my head and expect it to stay. That's why I have all these books as reference. So spiritually, health-wise, and then when I can get with Steph, he's amazing, because the more we talk, the more we fall in love with each other, because like, oh my God, you know how to do that? Well, I can do this. I don't like doing that, but you can do that. I'll do this part. So we're already seeing how we're going to balance each other in our life forward, and we're both excited to see that happen.
Complementation.
Yes. A beautiful competition. You know, the other day we were talking about twin souls, and I actually came up with a better idea, or a better explanation for this. It's not like a soul being split in two and coming in the world, but if like twins, like identical twins, you know, even if they're separated at birth, they come back together and they realize they've had the same affinity for things, like a certain color or certain shoes or a certain things that they've done the same their entire life. No, they're not the same person. Yes, at once they were one egg, you know, if they're identical twins. But they think the same. They can feel each other. They just know. And if they'd never met in this life, but they came back together, they would know immediately that they were an identical twin. That would be the best way I can explain a twin flame. If that's what Steph and I are, as a twin flame, that's the best way I can describe what we have as a relationship, is that we're identical. It's like, really? Did God make another person like this? Why would he do that? But it's amazing, because the things that I can't do, he can. And we finish each other's sentences, like you were saying about Vanessa. He goes to type something and I've just typed it, you know, into chat, or he's thinking something and I finish his sentence and vice versa. It's just a perfect compliment. And it's beautiful. But we've also had to go through our own purging of the soul and learning things, you know, going through the dark night of the soul and learning what it is that didn't work, that we didn't like. And for me, dating a narcissist for 4.5 years, you taught me how to find my voice again, how to express me. Because growing up with my mother, yes, she did all that, but at the same time, I saw the backhand of my mother across my face many times when I just had a question. I just wanted to know an answer. I didn't know how to say something otherwise, you know, in a different way, but it came off smart aleck, or I shouldn't say that, so I learned to shut up. So for me to get to to where I can talk and express my thoughts, my opinions, as if they actually mattered. It took me a long time, and I'm 48. I'll be 49 next month. So,
it's all right. It just doesn't stop.
It doesn't.
You keep going through the same. I can't believe that happened. You just don't stop.
Yes.
Even in your sick, look, here I am. I'm 56. I've learned this. You know, I get the same experiences no matter how old I am. It's the same feeling. And these are the feelings that we're here to bless. Let's say that's the one.
Yes.
We're here to bless those uncomfortable feelings.
To learn not to react to them, but to learn rather how to respond to them. Because I have said for ages, reaction continues the same energy, but response rises above and it changes the energy by thinking and putting thought into changing the dynamics.
That's another thing. Our dear friend who passed away, Dave Corso, who I started the station with, was one of the things he would say. Is don't react, respond. That was exactly what he would say.
That might have been where I picked it up years ago because I remember Dave Corso. I miss him. He was a good. I learned a lot from him because he was a speaker, wasn't he? He had different things out. The Dave Corso. Why does it sound so familiar?
Well, there's Philip Corso, who wrote The Day After Roswell. He was he's a colonel in the. In the army, and he's the one who had to tell them that was not a UFO, that was a weather balloon.
Well, then I may have things confused. I apologize.
But Dave Corso was his cousin, and they come from Nevada. Dave ran the station with me, and was he was known as, if you ever saw the Jesse Ventura. You remember Jesse Ventura did The Truth Revealed or something?
Yes.
There was a guy, we're going to go to this car park here and we're going to find this guy in the white van. And there he is. And you pull the back down and there's this guy in the white van. That was Dave.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, Dave was a very, he's played chess with the, with the things. Oh, hang on a second. Bleep. Sorry, Skype is bleeping. I realized that I can't actually have my emails open anymore if I'm running a show because I can't turn off the Skype sounds that come through Hotmail. Isn't that a scunner?
Hmm.
A pain in the proverbial. Anyway, meanwhile...
Back at the Earth Ranch.
Yeah, hang on. Let's have...
Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
There we go. We've got some of those. I do love jingles. I mostly do them during the Andronicus show, and because it's sometimes it's a bit like doing a radio play. I try to find a bit of foley, you know, like if we're in a particular thing, you know, atmosphere. I play. Put some background. That would be really cool, but I don't do it very, very much because it's all too spontaneous, you know.
I have to say you are fabulous with the spontaneity of it because I know that you don't get those from Jessica until like what, right before the show. So any song that you do, whether it's a Mita song or anybody, you just make it up on the spot, don't you?
Yes, absolutely on the spot.
That's fabulous.
Absolutely in the moment. This is the one. All right. So there's this thing. One of the things about playing music live or with other people is that it brings you into the moment.
Yes.
I could play rehearsed music, right? And I'm not that brilliant at it. But I can, you know, but it there's something uncomfortable about it. I'd rather play the moment because the moment has, all right, let me talk about some of the things, right? I for about 8 years, I ran a jam session. I had a studio, which was essentially a very large room, and I lived in it, and I had these wooden boxes that I'd made that all fitted together like Lego to make different, stages and things like that. Anyway, every Friday I would open my door, and people would come and play music with me. And we'd just make it up. We just let it happen. And when you then, or as I edited the output of that, I would, you know, watch what would happen. Here's a little thing I discovered is that, the theme changes every 4.5 minutes. I noticed it is that, you know, I would make a, cause sometimes a song would come together. You know, there would be a, you know, somebody would be tapping away at a rhythm and, you know, then suddenly everybody gets it and away it goes. And it would start drifting away about 4.5 minutes after that moment. And over like several years, I discovered that, you know, most of the things that I was editing out lasted about 4.5 minutes. And I thought to myself, oh, that's an interesting little number. What's that all about? You know, and, you know, throwing a few correlations in my head, I realized, hang on, it takes the Earth 4.5 minutes to go through 1 degree.
Well, my first thought, JP, was to ask, and I didn't want to interrupt you, was the planets. What planet moves? Mm. You know, so my first thought went to the astrology is what is shifting. Yeah. And for you to end up saying that as we go, oh, that's fascinating. That's fascinating.
Hang on, that is, let's have a quick fascinating here. That deserves a...
Fascinating.
So, what we...
Fuck. Live long and prosper.
Yeah, see the catalog. Yeah,
well, the other word that came to me was resonance markers. Mm-hmm. When you said that the music always plays a part in helping us remember certain moments, because we hear the tune that brings us back to a certain moment. So I see it as that's the word that came to me, resonance marker.
Yeah. That's a good little, like a tick. It's like a, okay, new frequency. New frequency. So, you know, people say, oh, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. 5 minutes definitely means that you'll be in the next click. You'll be in the next tick. Nothing ever remains the same.
No.
It'd be interesting. If you're ever like bored or you have to wait, just see if you notice the difference in the moment of the time. As a, you know, as an exercise, not you just, you know, but everybody.
Right.
Yeah. It's a thing. So we're coming to the top of the show. It's been lovely speaking to you, Star.
Thank you.
I'm going to, you know, move some things around and, see if we can find, are you in the east or the west?
I'm on the east coast of North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay. So, I'll, and you don't want it to be too late in the evening, do you?
Preferably not.
Right. Okay. So we'll see what we can. And
but so, put me where you need me.
Yeah.
And I'll figure it out.
Okay. It's brilliant. I think you've you know, more than gained the hearts and ears of the wolf pack here. It's lovely to speak to you. This has been Ever Beyond. Up next is World Healers Group with Frank Jordan. Oh, by the way, something that we haven't covered. God, just finishing the whole thing. The voices. If you look out for Tobias Beharel and Rachel Ledbetter. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Rachel. Okay. Yeah, check out Rachel Ledbetter. I do an interview with her in my Ever Beyond archives on Ever Beyond Radio. I can't remember when it was. You just have to scroll down and find it, or use Control F on your machine. That you'll be able to. She speaks the light language, one of them, and there are various others. There's Cassandra Van Zandt, other people who. And they do this, Cassandra Van Zandt. You should check her out because she translates these things.
Oh my goodness.
So she,
I've been asking for years for a translator.
Right. Cause, she'll do it. She'll do the voices and do the sounds. And then she'll say what they were saying was this. Da, 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 da.
And it's, you know, it was lovely. And, Rachel Ledbetter does that, and she is in the group that is in the next show coming. Oh, your cat likes Rachel. I think you also.
I know, I'm sorry.
No. See if you can, I'll see if she's going to be on the call. I'll message you and she'll be on the show. We'll maybe mention that.
Okay.
So, do you have a website that people can visit?
No.
Do you have that people can, book you for a session, for instance?
Yes. If somebody wants their cards read or has questions or anything, then they can reach me at, I am Star the Oracle on Skype. I am Star the Oracle on Twitter. I am Sharon Rowell, Rowell, on Facebook. Send me a message somehow. If you send it to my email, I really don't check email. It's kind of like snail mail to me. But if you do, it's EASTYZ, EASTYZ, or Z, like my Canadian fiance. Zed is dead. EASTYZ@yahoo.com. But either way, you can send me a message and let me know. I do have a PayPal account, but I'm not going to go there right now. We'll figure that out. I really want to be able to live in this world without having to deal with money.
Well, but PayPal, money. You know, PayPal and Bitcoin are ways of releasing the vice-like grip that the banking industry has. Listen, we got to go. Thank you so much. This has been Ever Beyond. This was Star, the Oracle.
I love you, world.